Well, this evening we wrap up our series in the book of Numbers. And if you were here with us on Wednesday evening, you know that in addition to our time of prayer and a specific time of prayer for our veterans, I also took a poll. And those who were here as your representatives, acting as a sort of electoral college, if you will, voted that after Numbers we move forward to Deuteronomy. So if you have a problem with that, take it up with your electors, because they voted that in. But tonight, Numbers chapter 36. Let's give our attention to this wonderful passage of God's holy word. The heads of the fathers' houses of the clan of the people of Gilead, the son of Maker, the son of Manasseh, from the clans of the people of Joseph, came near and spoke before Moses and before the chiefs, the heads of the fathers' houses of the people of Israel. They said, "The Lord commanded my Lord to give the land for inheritance by lot to the people of Israel, and my Lord was commanded by the Lord to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our brother, to his daughters. But if they are married to any of the sons of the other tribes of the people of Israel, then their inheritance will be taken from the inheritance of our fathers and added to the inheritance of the tribe into which they marry. So it will be taken away from the lot of our inheritance. And when the Jubilee of the people of Israel comes, then their inheritance will be added to the inheritance of the tribe into which they marry. And their inheritance will be taken from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers." And Moses commanded the people of Israel according to the word of the Lord, saying, "The tribe of the people of Joseph is right. This is what the Lord commands concerning the daughters of Zelophehad. Let them marry whom they think best, only they shall marry within the clan of the tribe of their father. The inheritance of the people of Israel shall not be transferred from one tribe to another, for every one of the people of Israel shall hold on to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. And every daughter who possesses an inheritance in any tribe of the people of Israel shall be wife to one of the clan of the tribe of her father, so that every one of the people of Israel may possess the inheritance of his fathers. So no inheritance shall be transferred from one tribe to another, for each of the tribes of the people of Israel shall hold on to its own inheritance." The daughters of Zelophehad did as the Lord commanded Moses. For Mahlah, Tirzah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Noah, the daughters of Zelophehad, were married to sons of their father's brothers. They were married into the clans of the people of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, and their inheritance remained in the tribe of their father's clan. These are the commandments and rules that the Lord commanded through Moses to the people of Israel in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. To his name be praise and glory. Let's look to him once again in prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Well, Portuguese aristocrat Luis Carlos de Câmara left a most unusual will. 13 years before his death, in the presence of his lawyers, he opened a Lisbon phone book and chose 70 people at random to inherit his immense fortune. After he died, they were all contacted. And not one of them believed they were truly his beneficiaries. They thought that it was some kind of scam. Why would such a man leave such an inheritance to me? They asked. It wasn't until they finally came into possession of the wealth that had been left to them that they believed it to be true. This evening, from the closing chapter of Numbers, I want to encourage you about your inheritance as God's children. I want to encourage you as God's child, chosen not at random, but in love before the foundation of the world. I want to encourage you who, as we heard this morning from Galatians, are God's sons in Christ Jesus and heirs according to God's gracious promise of eternal life. I want to encourage you about your inheritance. Like the 70 beneficiaries in Portugal, we sometimes have a hard time wrapping our minds around our promised inheritance and believing that it is real and living as though it is certain. But tonight I want to encourage you that it is real. It is certain. It cannot be lost or diminished. It is kept by God for you. And thus we should live our lives with confidence about this reality. God doesn't want his children going around distrusting him, lacking faith in his promises, and lacking assurance of the inheritance that he has promised us in his Son. He wants us to be confident. He wants us to live boldly because we're assured of the inheritance that we have in Christ. So in order to be encouraged along these lines, I want us to consider in the first place the inheritance that was kept for the daughters of Zelophehad as described in Numbers 36. And then I want us to consider and be reminded of the infinitely greater inheritance kept for you and me as God's adopted children. So in the first place, the inheritance kept for the daughters of Zelophehad. We first heard about Zelophehad back in Numbers chapter 27. And I was thinking more and more about that name, Zelophehad. I've never known of a Zelophehad outside the pages of Scripture. Have you? Have you ever met a Zelophehad? I met my first Pollyanna today. Some of you may have met your first Pollyanna today, a lady that visited the church with her husband Chuck. I'd met Chucks before, but no Pollyannas. But it was delightful to meet a Pollyanna. But I've never met a Zelophehad. And I started wondering, has anybody ever been named Zelophehad in history? And I thought, well, maybe Zell Miller, the great statesman from Georgia, was named after Zelophehad. And I looked it up, but I don't think that was the case. And he spelled his name with two L's. And I don't think that the banking app Zelle is based on Zelophehad either. It's spelled a little differently too. So this seems to have been a unique person with a unique name. Maybe there's a reason why people had named their children Zelophehad or Zelle after Zelophehad. Because you may remember that Zelophehad, as we read tonight, was of the tribe of Manasseh. And Manasseh, of course, was one of Joseph's two sons, the other one Ephraim. And we heard that back in chapter 27 that Zelophehad had died in the wilderness, having been judged by God for some unspecified sins. There you have the reason, perhaps, why no one names their son Zelophehad. He was judged by God in the wilderness. He was struck dead by God for some unspecified sin. We also learned in chapter 27 that Zelophehad had no sons, but instead he had five daughters, Mahlah, Noah, and remember, really in the Hebrew, the Noah that we typically think of the male, whom we spoke of this morning, in the Hebrew, his name was Noach. This is a different name. This is Noah in the Hebrew. So this woman named Noah, Haglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. Those were his five daughters. And we read about how these brave daughters of Zelophehad went to Moses after their father's death and made a very bold request. They asked Moses for assurance that when they entered the promised land, they would inherit the land that would have gone to their father. And their request revealed a lot about their character. In the first place, even though their father had died because of his sin, they still honored their father. When they said to Moses, "Why should the name of our father be taken away from his clan because he had no son? Give to us a possession among our father's brothers." In other words, they wanted their father's name to live on and be honored, even though he had sinned, some serious sin that led to his death. And so they model for us the fact that we are called to honor people, including parents, who are not perfect. Their request also revealed their faith that God was going to do what he had promised and enable his people to take possession of the promised land. Their father's generation did not believe the promise, and except for Caleb and Joshua, were not allowed to enter the promised land. And they all perished in the wilderness. But these women, as representative of their generation, believed God. They were ready to enter the promised land, believing that God would grant them victory over the giants of the land and enable them to conquer in the strength of the Lord. And these women expressed their belief that they were going to take the land by boldly asking Moses for their share of the land. And again, as I said this morning, this was especially bold because in the ancient world, daughters did not inherit land. Only sons inherited land. So they were stepping out in faith boldly in a number of ways. So let us never forget these women. We're going to read it. If we keep moving forward, God being our helper, one day we'll get to the book of Joshua. And in Joshua 17, we read that these women, guess what they did when they got in the promised land? They went up to Joshua and they claimed what had been promised to them. They said, "All right, God told Moses that we would get the land promised to our father. So Joshua, it's time for you to give us the land that God promised." You see, they were claiming, these are bold women of faith, claiming the promises of God. And as we saw, again, back in chapter 27, Moses brought their case before the Lord. And as already mentioned, the Lord told Moses to grant their request. So that's the setup for Numbers chapter 36. As we see in Numbers chapter 36, this new arrangement of the daughters of Zelophehad being able to inherit the land that would have gone to their father, this new arrangement led the men of the tribe of Manasseh to come to Moses with a legitimate concern. They weren't being male chauvinists. They had a legitimate concern. Their concern was that if the daughters of Zelophehad had married outside the tribe of Manasseh, then they would take their portion of the tribal land with them into another tribe. So these men were not upset about the daughters of Zelophehad inheriting land. They just wanted that land to stay within the tribe of Manasseh as the Lord had promised. So you see, you've got the daughters of Zelophehad claiming a promise, and you've got the leaders of Manasseh claiming a promise. So the Lord, who's very good at this kind of thing, he just sorts it all out. He's able to keep both promises. The Lord dealt with this potential problem by telling Moses that it was well and good for the daughters of Zelophehad to marry whom they thought best. Or, as another translation puts it, whoever pleased them. Whoever caught their eye. As long as he was a member of the tribe of Manasseh. And as you might have expected, based on what we already knew about the character of these amazing women of faith, that is exactly what they did. They obeyed the Lord. They married within their own tribe so that they and their tribe were able to keep the land allotted to their father, thus honoring their father's name. The Lord gave them a wise plan. They followed it, and all were happy and blessed. They kept the faith, and God kept His word. So first, the inheritance kept for the daughters of Zelophehad, and of course, through them a precedent was set for other daughters of Israel who inherited land when their father died and how they were to marry. In the second place this evening, the infinitely greater inheritance kept for you and me. This is, to me anyway, a riveting story about the daughters of Zelophehad and their inheritance. I think it's absolutely fascinating. But it's not quite as exciting as the great story of redemption by which you and I come in to an eternal and infinitely greater inheritance through Christ Jesus our Lord. But there are similarities. When it came to the inheritance promised to Zelophehad, there was uncertainty about who would inherit it after he died. Chapter 27 began with uncertainty about whether his daughters would be able to inherit it. And chapter 36 began with uncertainty about whether it would stay in his tribe. In the same way, we can sometimes live with uncertainty about whether the inheritance promised to us will be kept for us. We ask questions, whether we really articulate it or not, on an emotional level and on a deep spiritual level, we can ask questions like these. Does God really love me? In an unforgettable kind of way? Have I done enough to really be in God's favor? Will Christ ever come again? I mean, it's been 2,000 years since His first coming. Is he really going to come again and make all things right and all things new? Am I really going to have that resurrection body that Dennis read about from 1 Corinthians 15? Is that really going to happen? A resurrection body fit to inherit a new heavens and a new earth? Where there will be no more sin or sorrow or pain or disappointment or divorce or decay or death? Will I really know unbroken fellowship with God and all His people forever? Is there really going to be an unbroken home of family life with no division, no discord, only righteousness and joy and life forever? We can live with uncertainty about our inheritance. But there really is no need to do that. As 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being kept through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." So our inheritance is infinitely greater than that of the daughters of Zelophehad or any of those Israelites who went in and took the promised land. As amazing as that was, as miraculous as all that was, we should remember that what we possess right now and what we will fully experience one day is infinitely greater than what they came to possess in their day. The daughters of Zelophehad were not able to keep their father's land forever. The tribe of Manasseh did not keep their land forever. That land was a temporal inheritance that pointed to the eternal inheritance that we have through faith in Christ Jesus. It's an inheritance that Jesus spoke of in the Sermon on the Mount when He said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." What earth is He talking about? He's ultimately talking about the new heavens and the new earth. Our inheritance as God's adopted sons is an inheritance that outshines and outlasts any other inheritance. Any amount of money, stock, land, home, or any other material possession. Our inheritance as God's children outshines and outlasts it. Our inheritance is imperishable, undefiled, unfading. Because ultimately our inheritance is not a what. Our inheritance is a whom. God Himself, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And eternal life, light, and love, and fellowship with Him in the new promised land, the new heavens, and the new earth. There truly is no better inheritance than that. You don't need to be nervous about whether you're going to get that. And there won't be any bickering among the children of God about who's going to get what. We're joint heirs with Christ. Everything that's His will be ours. It's a beautiful thing. And we can be assured of that as we look at Christ. You say, does He deserve all of that? Yes, He does. Well, it's all yours in Him. And one of the special ways that God assures us of all that and that our inheritance is secure is through the meal that we're about to celebrate. This meal is given to us as a gift, as a means of grace that's meant to assure us that Christ has done all that needs to have been done in order to win our inheritance for us. This meal anticipates the meal that we will celebrate when He comes again. And we take full possession of our inheritance. It anticipates the marriage supper of the Lamb. So let this meal do its work for you tonight. Let the body given for you and the blood shed for you assure you this night, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the good news of Jesus Christ is not too good to be true. It is not a scam. It's not a bunch of hollow promises. It is certain. It is sure. Your inheritance is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and kept in heaven for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.